Welcome back to The Spark. I'm Marquise Lupton. Joseph Kayla and his team at the Dream Exchange has previously stopped by The Spark to give us insight into their new stock exchange they plan to launch. Well, since our last interview, there has been some major motion, and I'm happy to have Joe back on The Spark today to catch us up. Check it out. So, Joe, there's a lot that has been going on these last couple months. So can you get us up to date on all the exciting things that have been happening with yourself and Dream Exchange?
I will be so glad to. Thank you for having me back.
Yes.
So the first thing that's really exciting is, you know, we're now very deep into the process before the public announcement of the stock exchange's application, but we're in communication now where we pretty much know what our stock exchange will look like. The communication is with the Securities Exchange Commission. It's going very well. Some of it is quite confidential, but I think we're being very favorably received. And that, I think that's a plus point for the Securities Exchange Commission in that they have a tough job, and as do we, but that's going really well. So we're expecting very soon to make more public announcements and actually provide the public with all of the information that they can just go to our website and actually see the guts of the stock exchange in our rules. So that's come along very, very well. The other really huge, major news is that the Main Street Growth Act, the law that will really allow us to reach the market we're looking to reach, which is very small companies that may be raising as little as $5 million in a public company setting, that has progressed along very nicely. Not only have we had additional meetings in Congress, but we've actually had new co-signers to the bill in the House of Representatives. Congressman Gottheim is a very key supporter. He's actually one of the more informed members of Congress on stock exchanges and the business of stock exchanges. He's on the House Financial Services Committee. And not only did he decide to support the bill, he's actually publicly now a co-signer. And the meetings that we've had recently, I can't really announce until some of the additional co-signers have gone down what they call it going down to the well and signing the bill at the House. There'll be some other co-signers, I think, that will make it very interesting towards what the sponsorship and support of the legislation is. To me, everything we're doing, we will be the eighth stock exchange. That's a relative certainty sometime this year. I don't think there's anything really that would be a barrier to us opening a stock exchange. But the purpose behind our stock exchange is so significantly different than the other exchanges. We really are about creating equality of opportunity in all communities. But our primary focus, obviously, is we're working diligently in the Black community, because there are literally thousands of small companies that will benefit from what we're doing. And the legislation, coupled with our stock exchange, that gives us the chance to really reach a new market, to reach the marketplace where people with great imagination and with brilliant ideas that have good companies that need millions of dollars. $5 million is not a small sum of money, but in the setting of stock exchanges where you have companies that are worth trillions of dollars, it's relatively insignificant and small. So without us creating that new form of legislation to give us the opportunity to reach those markets, then we're just another stock exchange, you know. So the purpose behind what we're doing, the entire integrity of our brand, is in that marketplace. And so we're, there's not any day that goes by that our attention isn't on designing the larger stock exchange to accommodate the smaller one. So everything we're doing is headed in that direction. We're getting increasingly closer to having all the electronics completed. It's really done. The programming is not what the issue is right now. We're working out how the major stock brokerages will actually connect to the exchange. That's not complex. It's more a matter of the timing, if you will. So it's all coming together like a juggernaut, where in the next few months, there'll be some very, very major announcements, the public registration of the exchange, the releasing of all the documents, the moving of the legislation in the House of Representatives and then the Senate, as well as the milestone that we're really focused on is the first opening day bell, which I'm sure will be this year. Once we're in the register, it's really the SEC's process, so it's hard to predict whether it will be 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, but we're fairly confident that it won't be very long. So that's kind of the general update right now as to where we are and where we've come from. We're also expanding our partnerships, and we've created a considerable amount of goodwill with the National Black Chamber of Commerce. Their president, Chuck Dubow, is absolutely just an extraordinary man, very visionary, very forward-thinking. They have 100,000 members, and from which we intend to be partners with them to reach. They're all small companies, and they're all Black-owned companies. So we're in the community is my point, and we have a great partner. He's very forward-thinking in that he does see that the journey may take a little long, so he's not willing to compromise on let's just do it fast and less correctly. So we're really building our relationship with the National Black Chamber quite well. And these are relationships, like any relationship, they take a little time. And it's an interesting thing about a relationship, which is it only gets better when it's a good one. And I can't say enough good things about him and his team. And we're working together quite well right now, which I think the day we open, and the days that follow will begin to cultivate all of what is needed by the community. So, that takes a lot of it takes some hours and some labor on both teams' part. So, these are the things that go on in the background that no one really sees when we come to the podcasts and we come to the TV shows. So, it's been since the beginning of the year. We're done with the first quarter of the year. I can't say enough good things about my own team working tirelessly, and we're adding people. We're up to 42 staff now. We'll be adding some more people in the next few months. And we continue to work with our investment partners, who are also extraordinary people. They see a vision for the future, that is it kind of takes aligning with the purpose of what we're doing to be part of the team, and to be willing investors. So, right now, I would say that my comfort is we are poised perhaps for the greatest year we've ever had. And so that's, I guess, you never get really a Reader's Digest version of an update from me. But that's what I would call the Joe Reader's Digest version of our update. So
Why did you all decide to get Congress involved? Like, what was the mindset doing that?
yeah, so a great question.
Thank you.
So, there's two laws that really govern how stocks are sold in the country.
Mm-hmm.
One is called the Securities Act of 1933, and the other one is called the Securities Exchange Act of 1934. Those two laws have been around for now, you know, what, 90 years. and they really form the backbone of how a stock exchange works. And they also form the backbone of what's legal and what's proper when one sells shares of stock in their company. Well, there have been some modifications over 90 years, but the one of the key modifications that is required is the structure of stock exchanges needed to change.
Mm.
Because once electronic trading became popular and became really the standard in the industry, and that happened in the late 1990s, it really made stock exchanges and investment banks motivated to take only the very largest companies into the public markets where anyone can invest. So, you know, any person can go buy a share of stock in Apple Computer or Tesla or IBM today. Well, because of the electronics, we really diminished the willingness to help small companies go public.
Mm.
And that is, those are very good rules. We want those rules in place for the very large company marketplace. So in order to change those rules, it wasn't something that the Securities Exchange Commission could just decide, oh, we're going to make a new rule. It actually has taken federal law to change and give permission to the Securities Exchange Commission to form a more customized marketplace for small companies.
Mm.
So the congressional involvement really happened because it's taking federal law to do that. We have to amend a 90-year-old law, which was not an easy process, but we are very successfully getting that done. And more importantly, it is recognized that there's not a one-size-fits-all stock marketplace,
yeah.
That there's a new type of stock exchange. And the very reason for congressional attention is because when a company can reach the public markets, it can go public and it can have support from the entire audience of investors throughout the nation. Well, that company grows. It becomes very stable. It expands and stays more of a permanent company fixture into the future.
Hmm.
Now, because it's so stable, it does two things that a congressman wants to be able to say that they helped accomplish. One is they helped small businesses. So in the law, we're going to help small businesses. But the other one, I think the other one that's more uniform is small businesses create jobs.
Mm. Yeah.
And so what we're doing costs no money. The government doesn't have to spend any money to do this. But we're creating a marketplace to help small businesses, which in turn holds the possibility of expanding job creation in our nation, in all communities. And because of our brand and who we are and what we're doing, especially if we help the companies that we intend to help, well, it's job creation in the Black community, which is, you know, something that I think that has a lot of attention in many ways. There's been a myriad of attempts to solve a very long-standing problem, which is how do we create prosperity in all communities in the country?
Mm.
And the prosperity in this instance comes in two ways. One, by stabilizing a company, you're building wealth for the company owners, the shareholders, and investors. And two, the ecosystem of that company, especially if it's located in communities that don't have a lot of public companies, is something that builds jobs. And with the jobs at the company, you're not just creating want a workforce that has employment and prosperity, the ripple effect, the ecosystem creates a community. So, for example, about 4 miles from my office is the world headquarters of Allstate Insurance. I think they have about 30,000 employees that work at the world headquarters. Those are our good paying jobs. But if you look at the communities around Allstate, you know, Northbrook, Illinois, as an example, you'll see an ecosystem where, you know, the coffee shops and the dry cleaners and the bakeries and the grocery stores and the, you know, the tailor shops and the veterinarians and the car dealers, they all are now prospering as well because the community has a global public headquarters that is providing jobs that perpetuate other jobs that are not in the company. So there's an ecosystem. It's a symbiotic ecosystem where, well, of course, with the big company, you now have prosperity in other forms of business opportunities that are small businesses that are not public companies. So public company financing provides a gateway to prosperity in an entire segment of a community that without it, you'll see that the community can suffer. And, you know, we've been calling attention to it. You asked why Congress is looking at this so carefully. Well, our brand in particular is very important. In the history of stock exchanges, there have been only two companies that ever made it to the New York Stock Exchange that were minority owned. One of them made it through the American Exchange, so BET and Johnson Products. And that's not 2%, it's just two companies. I think there are only 10 minority-owned public companies that exist today.
Wow.
Out of over 6,000.
Wow.
Right, so the Treasury Department has said that 92% of jobs in a company are created after it can go public. So when you don't have to really have a lot of scholarly research to discover that 92% of jobs are created if a company's able to go to the public markets, and there are only 10 minority-owned companies that are in the public markets. Well, perhaps those communities are not developing public companies and therefore not really developing a stable ecosystem of prosperity. So it's a much bigger societal potential solution to create prosperity in a lot of communities that have not had that historically. And it's an interesting discussion because that prosperity is something that would necessarily come from the American investing public in a way that doesn't require one to have a lot of, rich friends. You can come and be in the public markets and people can invest in your company. And you don't have to have a Rolodex of the best venture capitalists in the world. You can do this in a more democratized way. That's not only theory, that's as a practical matter, the way things used to be. So before 2000, between, 70 to 90% of all companies that went and received money in the public capital markets were companies that raised $50 million or less. So, in some years it was 600, 700, 800 companies. You know, today we're lucky if we have a dozen of those small companies. So we're restoring an ecosystem for small companies generally, but we're also now in a brand new era where we're bringing the opportunity, a bridge of the opportunity from Main Street to Wall Street, where we're taking people into an environment that they've never really been before and educating and training them to be able to do it. That's our goal. So we can see many, many, many small companies, especially companies from the Black community, that will be in the community. Their headquarters are already there. And it's stabilizing. It's a stabilizing force for the company. And it's not only stabilizing for the company, but we know long term that it's a stabilizing force for the entire community. So to us, it's much more than merely a stock exchange. The people who work at our company and have signed up for this journey really do see themselves as making history, that we're transforming something that's been a historically touchy point in our communities. Where is the wealth and prosperity that is available to all communities on an equal basis? So that conversation is one in which we're new participants, but I think we're saying truthful things. The truth is like a very fast moving bullet. When it's true, it just doesn't go away. Can't deny that the numbers and the products and the things that we're talking about exist. Or more importantly, you can't deny that they don't exist. So we fill a void. Look, we've made a lot of progress with civil rights in 60 years. We have. And certainly the progress for the generation that is, the generation of people who really did experience on a firsthand basis a lot of the Jim Crow, laws and, civil rights progress towards repealing that, so that there's an equality of opportunity in that context and in that lane. That's good. But the equality of opportunity and the equality of prosperity, I think, is the final chapter of the civil rights movement. It's the chapter that has yet to be written, and we'd like to be, a paragraph in the chapter on helping form prosperity in all communities in America. And it's an interesting thing, because when we address it as small companies, all small companies, that's somewhat of a colorblind problem. All small company owners are faced with similar problems. It's just, however, as it is with most problems in America, where there's a problem, it seems significantly more pronounced in the Black community. So by addressing the problem the way we have and working hand in hand and organically, we don't have a diversity department at our company, because we are a diversity department. We're organically approaching the problem of society through expanding economic opportunity in public markets. And it's, like America was a grand experiment, this too will be somewhat of a grand experiment, but the truth of what we're doing and the momentum of it is not merely popular. It has transcended popularity so much so that we have the attention of the United States Congress on a very small piece of legislation, because it's small but mighty. An atom can, if split, creates nuclear fission. Well, in this context, this very small modification should be the mechanical device that Congress helps create prosperity for decades to come. I hope to see this in my lifetime, to be candid. I know that there's an old proverb that says a journey of 1,000 miles begins with but a step. But we are confident that we're stepping in the right direction, and we're telling the truth, and we're doing it in such a way that our goal isn't to make enemies or to blame people for the past. Our goal is to get partners to help us create a better future. And so, in doing so, this has been a very persuasive, unifying message to the U.S. Congress. And perhaps this will be an influence on other areas of life as we know it, that if we find common ground and we find solutions that work for all people, not for a small segment of people, we get create solutions for all people, perhaps we come together and find that our common enemies are not ourselves, that we share a desire and a hope as a nation to actually live up to the principles that the country was founded on for all people. And that if we live up to those lofty goals and ideals, we'll find that our common enemy is destruction of those ideals. And when one person is being destroyed using an excuse of those ideals, we all are.
Mm.
It's not a problem that we can tackle by isolating and blaming. It's a problem we tackle by unifying and creating. So this is the goal. And I think that that message has resonated quite well with congressional leadership. It's resonating quite well, I think, with our regulator. I think our business partnerships, and these are some of the announcements that will come, is, you know, who will be our customers. It's resonating quite well with them. And it's a good, and it's a positive, and it's a hopeful message. And, it, you know, and naturally, it's a dream exchange. So our name is something we want to live up to. And which is, and it's interestingly obvious that when you perpetuate something that's a big idea, if it's a big enough idea, you will find the unification which we found amongst congressional leadership. So there's some bigger announcements that are on the horizon, and those bigger announcements, I think, will be I think everyone's going to like what's coming in the next month or two. I'll be back.
I was going to say, we definitely have to have you come back, Joe. You have been spectacular just laying out all of the updates of what's going on with the Dream Exchange. So you said that there's some bigger announcements coming in about a month or two. So we will definitely keep our finger on the pulse of everything Dream Exchange. So again, want to thank you for joining us on The Spark. Is there anything else that you would like to leave our listeners with before we depart?
Yeah, one of my parting comments is, if you want to visit our website, it's DreamEx, DreamEx.com. We've been looking for public support. So we've had a lot of people that come get information, and they've actually addressed with their congressman, hey, I'm looking for the Main Street Growth Act. I hope you're supportive. That's actually been quite useful that the public is informing them, listen, this is an idea whose time has come. Please help us. So yeah, that would be my parting remark, is go to our website. You can email us. We get back to you. That's the optimal way to communicate is via the website's email system, and let us know what you think and follow us. And our paycheck right now is encouragement. So hopefully we expand and create prosperity for ourselves as well. But we appreciate all the words of support and help that the community has provided to us.
And that is Joe Sekela from the Dream Exchange. Joe, again, this has been informational and educational. Thank you so much for coming on The Spark and giving us this update. I cannot wait until the next update. We will definitely have you come back. So again, Joe, thank you for joining us on The Spark today.
Thank you. I'm really grateful. Thanks for helping us get the word out.
Yes, my pleasure. You're listening to The Spark. I'm Marquise Lupton, and have yourself a good day.